Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, and we are getting rolling here, Roy Matlock Jr., and we're going to be talking money. That's what we do every single week. And if you would like to find out more about what we do and get some of these downloads that we're going to be talking about today, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. If you have been listening in, it's kind of a series that I'm walking through, really an A to Z of money, getting your money from, you know, the defense to the offense. We're going to talk about investments and what you should be doing right now. And, you know, more than anything, I say to people, you always have to have a plan. And the plan is your goal, your plan, your schedule, your GPS. That's what we always do. We come up with a goal. That's our FIN number. Then we have a plan, which is to raise our income and always become more valuable and cut our expenses in order to create a gap. And that gap is your quality of life gap, is what I call it. And so, you know, a lot of times when you're struggling with your money, it's just because of a few things. You know, if you save, you know, $200 or $300 a month, or cut $200 or $300 a month, you know, that's $3,000 or $4,000 in a year. And suddenly you're spending less than you make. And then you bump your income a little bit. And before you know it, you're saving $10,000 a year. And before you know it, you got $50,000 saved. And it was just a little tweak in the way you're doing things. But the most important thing that you have to do is understand that it's all a decision on your part, a decision as to what you're going to do with your money. And so today we're going to kind of continue into setting up the budget. The budget is the most important thing that you can do. It's the foundation of all financial plans. And that is because if you think about it, I was driving down the road and I saw this little sign. It says developer, okay, you know, doing an auction, you know, to keep from going under and stuff like that. And they were selling Lamborghinis. And I was just looking at that. I was like, wow, you know, that you go from Lamborghinis to, you know, trying to sell stuff to stay afloat. And you think about that, no matter what you earn, you can always spend more than you earn. I don't care who you are. I mean, we can go back to, you know, some of the professional athletes that have made hundreds of millions of dollars and they're broke. So anyway, so let's start with the mindset that it makes no difference how much money you earn. If you want to get moving in the positive direction, the first step is we got to get a plan. And that plan is to spend less than we make. And then what we're going to do as we create that plan, we're going to then turn around and start investing it wisely. And we're going to get to a point where we've got some do-nothing money. And do-nothing money is what the goal is. So the first step is, where will I get money to get started? Where will I get the money to get started? And the problem is that if you could, most people have too much month left at the end of the money. So if you could just only have a month that was made up of 25 days rather than 30 days, how would that work? Well, it doesn't work that way, but that's what happens. So what we have to do is find areas to free up money to save. And so step number one is you have to pay yourself first. What does that mean? You know, we have a house payment, electric bill. I have people that tell me, they say, you don't understand, I have irregular income. Maybe I'm a real estate agent. I make a lot of money, and then I turn around, and then I don't make any money. And so it's hard for me to save. And I'm like, well, does the electric company allow you to send your bill in, you pay your bill when you had a good month, and then your house payment, can you only pay when you have a good month? And no, you pay it. And the reason is we're programmed to pay our debts, but we're not programmed to pay ourselves. And so what changed my life? A $50 a month bank draft changed my life. And the way it changed my life was I started saving money on a consistent monthly basis. I automated it to where it was automatically coming out of my checking account. I started saving money, and every month I saved money. And I started that in 1985, and I've had a bank draft going into investments since 1985. It changed my life. How about that? So that's the first thing, is you got to pay yourself first and automate it. Number two, you got to adjust your lifestyle. We're going to exchange our money for different things. We're going to exchange this item for some security. So we may have to do that. We're going to establish the budget, which is number three. Number four is we're going to adjust our priorities. We're going to take a look at what's really important. Is it that important? Would we rather our spouse stay home to help to be able to raise the kids, or would we rather have a boat? And we go through these whole things. We adjust our priorities. Then what we do is we work harder. We earn extra income. Let me give you an example. 40 hours a week, generally, you can take that and it will spell B-R-O-K-E. All right, broke. That's normally how it works because everybody does that. How do you expect to get ahead? So you need to have something going on the side. Maybe if you're in your you own your own business, you got to get better at your business and start spending time learning, okay, what you're doing to become an expert at it. So we want to do that. We want to, number six, realign our assets, meaning that we might want to sell some things to reduce debt. We might want to sell some things that allows us to save money. And number seven, we want to avoid bad debt and avoid the credit trap. What is bad debt? It's debt, number one, that we can't afford, and number two, that's tied to things that go down in value. So what you want to do then is you want to start taking a look at where you're at when it comes to your budget. And we look at, you know, what's going to living expenses, what's going to housing, what's going to our taxes, our insurance, and then this and savings and investments with a goal of saving 15% of your income as a minimum. I have people that I've met with that save 50% of their income. And clearly, one of the ways to save 50% of your income is to live lean. But the most important thing you can do is raise your income up, and that will allow you to really start saving money. And once you do that, I was running a hypothetical for a young guy, 23 years old, that had saved $30,000. And I said, look, if you put in $30,000, leave it alone, never touch it. And I ran a hypothetical on a mutual fund. It's almost like magical. You can't even believe it. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to continue through the defensive positions. And that's the defense is your budget, getting out of debt. We're going to talk about buying the right insurance and getting your emergency fund in order, all that kind of stuff. I want to encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. If you would like help with your money, maybe you're doing great and you've got more money to invest. We do that kind of stuff. Or if you're trying to get started, or you just want to, get your budget set up, learn how to do it, visit roymatlockjr.com. We have the budget forms that you can download. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and this is the Money and Business Hour. We do this every week. Been doing it for years and years and years. First one on the radio back in the early 90s and on the Money Game, if any of you guys remember that, long, long time ago. And, now we do a weekend show, and that weekend show allows me to keep out there. But, you know, it's not the day-to-day that I did back in the early days. But with that being said, the story has not changed, and that is that our goal is to get to a point to have do-nothing money. And do-nothing money is money that comes in regardless of whether you do anything. You know, my dad used to always tell me, he says, you got to learn how to make money while you sleep. And the reason you got to make money while you sleep is because your bills are going on all the time. So you need to create a system and a machine that creates money. How about that? So let's find a way to create money that happens all the time. And you do that by getting ahead, saving money, owning a business, you know, things like that, investments that will do that. And today we're talking about freeing up money to save. If you're just tuning in, we talked about seven areas to free up money to save. Those seven are pay yourself first, adjust your lifestyle, establish a cash flow plan, adjust your priorities, earn extra income, realign your assets, and then avoid the credit trap. So those are the seven. And if you are listening right now, you can also, if you want to review this kind of stuff, this will be up on my podcast, and you can look up on any of your podcasts from iHeart to Apple, or you can go to roymatlockjr.com and subscribe to that. Then that way you can get all the past shows and the current stuff. So with all this kind of stuff going on, we're in a position today, unlike, the pandemic has done things that, truly tell you that you can never be too conservative. If you've been in a situation over the last year and, you know, your job has been affected and, you know, maybe your industry has been affected, you know that you can never be too conservative. You're saying right now, man, I wish I had saved more money. Well, here's the best time to get started saving more money is now. And so we're going to start out. I'm going to give you some keys to handling your money. The first one is never lose money. The most important return on investment is the investment. So what you want to make sure of is if you're getting involved, you know, we hear all these different things from Bitcoin to, you know, day trading to, you know, flipping real estate. You got all this kind of stuff. Here's what you got to realize. Those things have inherent risk in them. And if you're not an expert in any of those areas, chances are you're going to lose money, and you break the first rule on handling money is never lose money. The return of your money is step number one. Then the earnings on your money is step number two. You don't want to go in there and lose your money. And people do that. And it's interesting to me that the people that tend to lose their money are the ones that don't have any money to lose. You know, the ones that have money are not out there doing that kind of stuff. So what you want to be thinking about is number one, never lose money. Number two, stop buying. Now listen to this, stupid things. We've all bought stupid things. And these are things that when you look back at it, you're like, what was I thinking? All right, let me give you a little rule on buying things. If you're real nervous about it, you probably don't need to be doing it. How about that? Because it's probably not a smart move. So what we want to do is stop buying stupid things. That's number two. Number three, only spend money that you have. Isn't that interesting? These are all these little common sense things that I've learned over time. Only spend money that you have. That means that we're not going to finance things that go down in value. We tend to buy things that and finance things that go down in value. And that is the first rule you don't want to do, is you don't spend money on things don't only spend money when you have it. All right. And I know it's simple to think about that, but you walk into a car lot and you walk out of there with a $600 payment for 6 years. And you're like, why did I do that? Well, yeah, because you didn't follow the rules, okay? You stop buying stupid things, only spend money that you have, never lose money. And number four, have a big goal. What's the big goal? The big goal is to save 50% of your money, 50% of your income. Now, why is that goal such a great goal? And you say, well, I could never do that. Well, you probably can on the earnings that you have. But if you work on the two things that matter, that is paying attention to your spending, and then secondly, raising your income, guess what happens? You put yourself in a position to where one day you can save 50% of your income. And I know people that do that, they get ahead quick. All right. So let's talk about some budgeting tips. Okay. The first thing is you need to take an honest appraisal of what you're spending. Go into your, go to roymatlockjr.com, download the budget sheet. And when you do that, you will then have a better idea of what's going on. It's going to take a little bit of time, but the good news is once you get it set up, it's not that hard. You want to maybe go and get some software, all right, that will allow you to easily do these kind of things. Maybe you want to, I've been using QuickBooks since 1995, all right? So I want to do that. And then what you're going to do is you're going to decide what you're going to adjust once you have an idea what you're spending. And keep in mind, you're not sacrificing. You're exchanging where you're going to spend your money. You're going to spend it here rather than there. And part of that spend is you're going to spend it on you, and you're going to put it into your investment accounts. Next thing is this, some more budgeting tips. Don't lock yourself in to long-term things. All right. Keep as many expenses as you can variable. So we don't want to go in and do something that is a long-term expense, because then we have to have a long-term income in order to do it. You want to be in a position to be very nimble. If something were to happen to your income, you have a setback, if you're sick, whatever it may be, you don't want to be locked in to where you can't get out from under things. And so that's why you want to buy, when you're buying a house, you want to make sure that it's a nothing payment for you. You want to make sure that when you're buying cars, you're paying cash most of the time, used. I've been buying used cars forever. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is when I'm in a position, been in a position to buy new cars, I still buy used cars because I'm just like, why do I want to buy a new car? I remember one time, one of my early mentors, he said, if you're buying new cars, he said, and you don't have $1 million saved, he says, I think you're dumb. And I was like, man, you know, I didn't have anything saved, and I bought two new cars. But when I got rid of those two cars, I started buying used ones over and over and over again. And to this day, I still do that. We want to create a system to become an automatic millionaire. How do we do that? We come up with our FIN number. That's the amount of money we need to save in order to quit. We then, from there, automate it. How do we automate it? We set it up in the way of a 401k or a retirement plan through your job, to where it's you're paying yourself first through that. Additionally, you can do Roth IRAs and regular IRAs and just regular investments. But my honest opinion of people saying, I'm going to save on my own, they never do it. All right, I've seen it. Very few people do it. I do know this, that when people set up an automatic draft out of their account, they very seldom stop doing it. It's interesting when you buy things and they say it's so much a month, okay, and they draft it, you know, all the way from the Netflix on. It's more trouble to stop it than it is starting it. So what they do is you got to run around the block trying to figure out how to stop it. Well, if you do the same thing with your savings and your drafts on your savings, what will happen is you'll get used to it. It'll start automatically going in. And one day you will have become an automatic millionaire. How about that? An automatic millionaire. Because all you have to do is get your compound interest. You can go online and do that, or we can help you with that. And we say, what do you need to save at X percentage rate in order to become a millionaire in a time period? And you say, well, I want to be a millionaire in 20 years. Well, if I get 9%, what do I need to save every month? And that's how you go about becoming a millionaire. You become an automatic millionaire. All right. So what I want to do now, we're going to continue down this path. I want to encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Do you have anyone helping you with your money? That's my question. If you had someone like me helping you with your money, do you think you would do better? So I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com to schedule a free consultation, or dial 615-843-2999, and we'll be right back. And we're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and today we're talking about the defense and setting up the budgets, and we're going to get into some other things about the defense. But the defense is four parts. It's the budget, the emergency fund, debt elimination, and having the right insurance. And if you're just tuning in right now, I want to encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com, because we're going to be going through some things that will help you to get things moving in the right direction with your money. And we have some downloads that you can go right in there and download the budget forms and many, many other things. And I would encourage you also to tune back in and re-listen to this show, because I'm telling you, the thing that changed my life was when I got on a budget and I started living on a budget, and it allowed me to automatically live below my means and started saving money, started investing on a regular basis. And then before I knew it, I started accumulating money. And I was like, man, this is magic. And the magic is in spending less than you make and then getting your money working for you. And so when we get started, we need to have a setup. And so let's talk about the setup. So in my budgeting with electronics, and, you know, used to we did what we call an envelope system to where we had so much cash in our pocket, you know, and now today we have debit cards and we have different things like that. But with all that being said, it works out the same, but you have to find a way to where you can keep up with what you're spending before you spend it, all right, rather than after. And so here are the three accounts that I'm going to recommend that you have. You have an emergency fund. That emergency fund can be a couple of things. It can be a savings account or money market account at the bank. You can do that. Or you can tie it into a mutual fund, money market mutual fund, so if you're saving. But either way, you need to have that as a separate account. We're going to start out with a goal, and we're going to get a minimum of 3 months' expenses with a goal of eventually getting 6 months of expenses. That will allow you, if we let's say that you got two incomes coming in and one of you lose your income. If you're making the same amount of money and you had 6 months living expenses set aside, you really have a year because you got one income and it's still coming in, and you've got 6 months of expenses on top of that. And so it's not 6 months of your income, it's 6 months of your expenses. And obviously, if we have a setback, we do that. So we have an emergency fund. Now, the next two accounts, it could be three accounts. If you're married, this is my recommendation. I have what we call a draft account, and I call that, I have it inside of my banking. It says draft account on it. I name it that. And then I have my personal weekly account. So let me give you an example how this works. So let's say that you are two incomes coming in. You're married, okay, two incomes. And what happens is all of your money goes into the draft account. Now, I'm going to tell you about the draft account. It's where money is coming in. So 100% of your income goes in there. Now, if you have a 401k at work or retirement plan at work, it'll be 100% of your income after tax, 100% of your income after those expenses, like health insurance that might be pulled out, stuff like that, but the and your 401k. But 100% of your money goes in there. Then what we do is we go in and we automate everything. So we go into bill pay and we set up all of the payments that are going out, and we have that all automated. All right. Now, once we do that, all right, we're going to find that you're bringing in $3,000 and you've got automation and it's $1,500. And then you start, go back to your budget form, and you have set aside inside of this draft account monies for things like car repair, new car purchase, Christmas, vacations, maintenance, and all this kind of stuff. And you come up with a number and you say, you know, I've got $500 a month that I have to set aside for that stuff. So that's going to be in there. So we're not going to just take money out of that draft account. That draft account's going to get bigger. And then if we have a setback, or we have to replace the tires or whatever, we already know that when something breaks, we've already built it in. When we need to get a new car, we've already built it in, and then we're able to pay cash. So then from there, we come up with all of the automation. We know that. We have money that's in there that's building up to set aside for the things that we pre-planned in advance. And then weekly, we take an amount of money that we're going to spend on a weekly basis, and we move it into our personal account. Now, that might be, if you're married, it would be each of you have your own personal account. So whatever that number is, it gets moved in there, and then you use that. You can use your debit card, or you can get cash. You can do whatever you want to do. And what I encourage people to do is to go ahead and take that, have the bank tell them, okay, how much money they have every day in that account. So what is the draft account? It's a checking account where your total household income comes into. If you're married, we recommend both incomes go into this account. If your company provides a retirement plan and health insurance, then this would be the income after those costs. All your recurring bills, including long-term investments, are set on automation, as well as money is set aside for future purchases. So that's your draft account. That's what we do. And so now all the money's coming into that. We have our emergency fund. This account should have an automatic transfer from the draft account each month until it's fully funded. If you have bad debt, you can transfer from the emergency fund periodically to finish off any debts while maintaining a comfortable amount of emergency cash. So I tell people, if you want to get out of debt, here's one way you can do it. Let's draft $300 a month, whatever it is, and pay minimum payments all of my credit cards, and then let's put $300 a month in the emergency fund. Once it gets to, say, $2,000, let's take $1,000 of it and apply it to the smallest debt. And then let's raise the draft that we were doing to the emergency fund by the amount of money that we're now not having to pay to the debt that we just paid off. So now we're pulling $400 a month. So now it goes up again and it gets to $3,000, and we take $1,500 out and we pay another one off. And so what happens is, over time, you're going to take all the money that was going to debt. Every time you pay a debt off, you raise the amount of money that's being drafted into the emergency fund. Eventually, all the debt's paid. Eventually, your emergency fund is funded. Now that money is going to go into additional long-term savings that you can put aside, a Roth IRA or college for the kids, whatever it may be. Then we have our weekly spending accounts. And this is a checking account that's used to cover any weekly miscellaneous expense. Each spouse should have an individual account based on typical weekly expenses. You can have a debit card. If you need cash, you can go get the cash right from the ATM, because you know you only have a certain amount of money each week in order to do that. And then each day, have the bank text or email you the balance in the account. Sunday night, transfer your money from the draft account, which is where all your money's coming in, into your weekly spending account. Now you now have a working budget. Think about that. So we have a simplified plan to put ourselves, in place. So what are the steps to setting all this up? Use the budget sheet from roymatlockjr.com. You can go in there and you can account for all your previous income expenses to figure out where you're at. All income goes to the draft account. We draft to investments. We have money building up in there set aside for cars, vacations, maintenance, Christmas, etc. Okay, and that will be withdrawn as needed per your budget. We have drafts and bill pay to pay recurring expenses, and we make any cuts that will allow for a positive real income. So that's how we go about doing these things. So all of this kind of stuff is what I do and have been doing now for 35 years, teaching people how to do things like this. And so what I want to encourage you to do, if you want to go and really learn, go to roymatlockjr.com. If you missed our family financial workshop, we had almost 3,000 families attend, had rave reviews on that. You can now sign up for that, and it will send it to you. It's via Zoom. It was a three-hour family financial workshop. It goes all the way down for your teenagers. It also helps you on educating your kids on what to do. Visit roymatlockjr.com, or you can call 615-843-2999. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're finishing up today's show. We've been talking about setting up a budget, and I have people tell me all the time. They say, "Man, you do so much. There's so much information on all this kind of thing." So I'm trying to slow it down a little bit, and I hope that as a result of that, it's something. If you're taking notes or you're going down the road and you want to get more information, go to the podcast, which we'll be doing that Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour podcast, and we've got about 65 shows as of now that are recorded, and you can listen to this and get more detail on it. But the bottom line is the defense is made up of the budget, the emergency fund, getting out of debt, and buying the right insurance. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the different types of things that you do with the emergency fund. So let me give you some examples. First thing we do is when we're setting aside money, we have three basic mindsets. We have an emergency fund. that just sits there. The goal is just to have liquid cash, all right, in the event an emergency comes up. We have short-term savings. That short-term savings is for things that we have a specific need for that's going to be coming up. It could be for Christmas or vacation, or it could be something like another car when it's going to come up. We just kind of calculate all that. And then lastly, we have our long-term savings or investments, and that's going to be retirement plans, college plans for the kids, just pure investments that could be what I call opportunity money. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to start looking at we talked about today the budget. So now what I would suggest to you is go through and look at all your expenses and fire some of those expenses and never rehire them again and create, you know, a gap there to where you have some money to save. If you don't have your emergency funds set aside, we're going to work on that, and that's the first savings plan. Now, some of the things I see going on right now are people have money in the bank, and that money has no real purpose for it being there, and it's well above the emergency fund. And so if I were you, just remember the bank is strictly for checking and an emergency fund. It's not anything that would include some future purchase money. But if you've got money in the bank, if you've got a lot of money in the bank, I have people that, you know, I meet with them and they have $200,000 in the bank, or they have $100,000. And I'm like, do you realize the bank's paying you less than 1% on your money? And if inflation is 3, which we're seeing it kick up now, you're losing money. You got to pay your taxes. We call it a guaranteed loss. And so you've got that money sitting there. There's plenty of places you can put that money that will outperform the bank. All right. And so the bank is not an investment. Okay. The bank is a place to hold your money. And so your emergency fund, what it's there for is for several things. The first thing is it keeps you from borrowing and going deeper in debt. And so if you have an emergency and, you know, well, my car broke down and I got no money. Okay. Well, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to finance it in order to get it fixed. So the first thing the emergency fund does is it keeps you from borrowing and going deeper in debt. The second thing, it provides you security, which reduces stress and worry. All right. The third thing, now listen to this, guys, when you have an emergency fund, you can start raising your deductibles on your insurance. So let me give an example. Your car insurance. You're going to save a lot of money if you get rid of those low deductibles. All right. Matter of fact, if your car is older and you have money set aside, you may drop the collision coverage in its entirety. And that can save you thousands of dollars. All right. Right off the bat. So what you're going to do is be self-insured. You can raise your deductibles on your homeowner's insurance. That will cut expenses. Now, when you do this, that allows you to free up money to save. And so the whole idea is when you raise your deductible, you reduce your amount of premium, and the premium, you invest the difference. So let's say you go in there and say, you know, I saved $100 a month on my car insurance by raising my deductibles or dropping my collision coverage because it's an older car. Well, immediately, take your draft account where you're saving money and save that $100. Then that way what you did is you got that money working for you and you cut your insurance premiums. All right. Now, it may be you have an accident and you have to dig into that. Well, that's what you have set aside in that emergency fund. So you have things like that. So we can raise our deductibles on our car insurance, our homeowner's insurance, our health insurance. We can do the same thing with raising our liability coverages because we cut cost. All right. We can take some of that and raise our liability protection. I never tell you to reduce your liability coverages. But these are some of the benefits of the emergency. That's just part of your financial house. It should be a starting point of about, you want to get $1,000 set aside. Then you want to have 3 to 6 months of expenses, and you're going to use that with put it in a money market, or you're going to put it into some type of bank account, something like that. And so what you want to do is you want to start thinking in terms of, I'm going to free some money up. I'm going to utilize the 7 areas that I spoke about earlier to free up money to save. I'm going to free up some cash. I'm going to do the important but not urgent work. Stephen Covey said that, you know, people, they have 4 quadrants. They have the urgent and important. and that stuff, that you're on a deadline. In many cases, the reason you're on a deadline is because you didn't pre-plan. You have the urgent and not important. Those are interruptions. You have the not urgent and not important, which doesn't really matter. But the area that most people don't spend time in is the important but not urgent. So let me give you an example. Setting up your budget and taking the time to set it up is important. But if you don't do it today, you know, whatever. You can do it tomorrow. If you don't do it tomorrow, we can do it the next day. But then what ends up happening is all of that procrastination is costing you stress, worry, saving money, freedom, and it's taking you that much longer to get to a point where you're in good shape. So what you want to do is you want to take the time. I would say, you know, when this show is over, why wouldn't you just say, you know what, dadgummit, I'm going to get me a budget set up so I can get an emergency fund, so I can get my insurances fixed. I'm going to cut some costs. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff, and I'm going to spend 2 hours. That's what I'm going to do. Go to roymatlockjr.com and get the budget forms, and you can listen to this show several times to where you get it all down. But dadgummit, I'm sick and tired of being broke. I'm sick and tired of spending more than I make. I'm sick and tired of making a lot of money and not have anything to show for it, right? I'm sick and tired of that, and I'm going to do something about it. So what we have to do is we have to take the time to go through and work on this stuff. And then the good part is once you get it set up, you know, it's pretty easy to maintain. And so that's the second part of getting your defense in order. The third part is we're going to get the right insurance. All right. Now let's talk about insurance. We're going to kind of get rolling here on this. We're not going to have time to cover it all, but really there's two types of insurance. All right. One is income protection. All right. And the other is asset protection. All right. So let's think through this. Or we could say, you know, what is income protection? Well, income protection has to do with life insurance. It has to do with disability insurance, that kind of thing. And that's your primary insurances that have to do with income protection. So what is life insurance? Life insurance is a replacement for the lost income that would happen in the event that you died. So let's just say you had a machine, and that machine popped out every 2 weeks, $2,000. So every 2 weeks, that machine throws $2,000. You just tap the button and it hands you $2,000. Well, would you insure that machine? You would have you'd make sure it's locked up. Nobody could get to it, right? Well, you're that machine. And what your machine does is it provides income for your family. All right. So if you have a family, then what you're going to want to do is make sure that you have your income insured. So the two things that you do to do that, you have life insurance. I recommend term insurance only. And then the second thing is that we want to get some type of disability protection. All right. So we want to go with the mindset that we're going to make sure that whether I'm here or whether I'm working, if I get injured, that my income is going to continue and to provide, okay, for my family. So what does life insurance do? It provides a lump sum that can be converted into an income stream to replace the income your family would have made from your efforts. Employers generally provide 1 year of income as a benefit, so you purchase your own individual policy. How about that? Typically about 10 times your income is about what it costs or about what you need, and it's generally about 1% of your income to protect 100% of your lifetime income. How about that? That's not a bad thing. So wouldn't you make, well, doesn't it make sense, okay, to do that? Disability insurance provides a monthly income along with Social Security disability that will allow you to replace your income for due to particular disability or accident. And most disability insurance is purchased individually. All right. Then we have asset or liability protection. What is that? Health insurance provides reimbursements for medical expenses. You are due to an illness, so you buy that, you trade a premium in return to the in return for the insurance company to take on a portion of that liability. You can raise your deductibles, and that will cut your cost. Long-term care insurance is another insurance that you look at. It provides in the event that you go into a long-term care facility or even home health care, you are responsible for the cost. So you trade a premium, and you say, here's a premium, and for the insurance company to take on a portion of that. Other asset or liability protection would be car insurance and homeowners insurance. So really, when you think about insurance, what we're going to do is we're going to get you to a point to where you understand insurance. How about that? You understand it to where when you purchase it, you're not getting ripped off. And trust me, I see things all the time where people are just like, you know, first thing is they have something happen. They don't even know if they're going to get paid. And then the second thing is that the amounts that they're paying for what they're getting is in many cases just not even in reality. And because people don't understand that stuff. So when we come back on our next show, we're going to continue down this. We're going to talk about income protection, asset protection, all those kind of things. And so I hope you've enjoyed today. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. I want to encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can find, you know, all types of downloads, everything you can imagine. So, or call 615-843-2999. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you next week.